Well, please be seated. I think Mike Verdicchio is going to hand you out a sheet on goals. But while he's doing that, I wanted to talk about finances for a minute. This is going to be pretty short. But if you look at Proverbs chapter 5, there's a fascinating verse in the 10th verse. It says, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. You think, how would strangers be filled with your wealth? It's real simple. I watched a movie on the plane on the way down here I'd seen before. It's called Hell or High Water. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It's one of the newer ones. Three times in that movie, they're sitting there looking at the bank, and they say, that's where all the money went, to the bank. It's not that the banks are crooks, that's their business, but we give our money, God promises to prosper us. It's in his word if we tithe. But yet sometimes we're still broke. Why is that? Well, what would it be like in your life if you had all the interest back in a bank account that you paid out on credit cards, houses, and cars? You'd be wealthy, but that's what it says. Let strangers be filled with thy wealth. God gives it to us, but we just give it away. We have to learn to not to give it away so much. And then the next verse says, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I think in Deuteronomy, God says of Israel that they were to be lenders and not borrowers. Doesn't mean you can't borrow money to buy a house, but the principle is just keep that money in your pocket. If you don't have the cash, don't buy it. And in light of that, I found a quote in this book. I don't know if you've ever read the book called The Old Man and the Boy. It's one of my favorite books. The old man was his grandfather. He was a very prosperous man. He was a hunter. And the subject of being rich came up. And when you think of wealth, there's verses in the Bible that warn you not to get over out of bounds with your money. But Abraham was wealthy, wasn't he? So was Job. And yet Abraham was known as a wealthy man? No, he was known as the friend of God. He was known as the father of all them that believe. Money was, he had the wealth, but his life was focused on God. That's the opposite of the rich young ruler that went to Jesus and said, what do I need to do to be saved? And he said, your problem is you trust in your wealth. That's where wealth becomes a problem. So there's nothing wrong with God will prosper you. So this is what the old man said about the subject of money. He said, rich, the old man said dreamily, is not baying after something you don't have. Rich is having the time to do what you want to do. Rich is a little whiskey to drink, some food to eat, a roof over your head, a fish pole and a boat, a gun and a dollar for a box of shells. Rich is not owing money to anybody. Not owing money to anybody and not spending what you haven't got. So you have to figure out what the balance is between being wealthy, having what God wants you to have, and not getting out of bounds with it. And that somebody already read that verse where Paul said to be content with such things as you have. So I wrote this. I like this quote of the old man because if you're looking for wealth according to the word, it puts it in the right perspective. Like where Paul said to be content with such things as we have. We're to be good stewards, manage our prosperity properly, see it grow, but in the process, content. Isn't that interesting? So the sheet that he gave you was on goal setting. It has two sides to it. I can understand sometimes people think, well, to set goals would not be biblical. But I just want to read through this. It says, in the absence of clearly defined goals, we become strangely loyal to performing daily trivia. Ultimately, we become enslaved by it. That's Robert Helena. You know who he was? He wrote a lot of science fiction books. When I was a kid, I read lots of them. But at any rate, these are just some different quotes, things to think about. What one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew you could not fail? That changed. I thought about that, and I finally decided, I know what that is. And I decided I was going to go do that and been working on it ever since. To live with no motivation or planning is not God's desire. Proverbs 6:6-11 says, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways, be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. In other words, she's saving it up all summer long. How long wilt thou lie there, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want as an armed man. God expects us to plan it out, to save our money. And Christianity has taught for a long time, for some phases of it, that it's wrong to save money. If you save it, then you're planning on coming to need it sometime, and you're not going to trust God, you're going to trust in what you have done. But if that's true, what was Joseph doing for the first 7 years in Egypt? Those things people say, are you just need to go back and look and see what the Word says. Because the Word is what's true and it's what works. As laziness causes a person to neglect work, fail to exploit the windows of opportunity. Summer is the preparation time for winter. The seasons are not always just flat. In the wintertime, it's hard to, if you're agriculture, you can't grow crops and prosper in the wintertime. You have to save the stuff up. And our economies are the same way. We dare not while it away the summertime. Failure to plan ahead will result in poverty and want. Wisely setting goals leads to better results. So here's another one from Proverbs. The plans of the diligent lead to profit. It's like a goal. The plans of the diligent. James 3:4 says, behold, also the ships, though they be so great, are driven and are driven with fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. What good would a ship be if it didn't have a rudder and a helm? If you wanted to go somewhere. No direction. You can't get anything done. So you have to figure out, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? And it gives your life direction. Look at that. The one in Philippians came from a different translation called The Message. He says, friends, don't get me wrong. I like this translation because it uses the word goals in it. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I have my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. Let us keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we are on the right track, let us stay on it. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those who you see running this same course, headed for the same goal. There's nothing wrong with having goals. It gives your life focus and direction. You can get a lot more done. So here's some things about goals. Don't tell anyone your goals except those that will encourage you. If you tell them to other people, they may discourage you. Many people have fear of failure. With no goals, there's no failure. Isn't that interesting? You can't fail if you don't have a goal, so they kind of skate by that. A system or process of setting goals will increase your level of attainment by 1,000%. These aren't things I said. These are quotes I got from other people, so just so you know. Make goals that are achievable and believable. A 40 to 50% increase of income is about the limit of what most people for believability. So if you can believe that a 40 to 50% increase of income this year, you could do the same thing again next year. But to say I want a 1,000% increase of income this year might not be real believable for you. Write your goals down. It helps them become a reality. You could also study goal setting and find a system that works for you. Brian Tracy has a whole course on just nothing but goal setting and shows you all different types of systems for setting goals. So, on the other side, goals for 2020. Here's the first thing to think about. What kind of character traits would you like to develop in yourself? Well, these are three that are quotes from the Word. A couple of people, it was known of them that they walked with God. That took some development, a goal, or what they wanted to do with their life. Another guy, Abraham, became the friend of God. That's what if you had a tombstone, his epithet, you would write it on there, friend of God. That would be cool. Hezekiah was known as the man that trusted God. So you could develop, and there's all other kinds of character traits in the Bible you could make as a goal also. Make a list, work on them one at a time, and see those come to pass in your life. The ability to set goals is the master skill of success. So here's some suggestions. And I left spaces in here. You can write in here if you want. What would you like to learn? About your job, a hobby, fishing, raising children, family life. You can make any of those things a goal and study them for a year. But if you don't make them a goal, you don't think about them, what will you learn at the end of the year? Nothing. So, what books would you like to listen to or to read? How many books would you like to do a month? If you look at some people that are very wealthy, they read all the time. Some of them read more than a book a day, which we don't have time to do because we have to work. But, but you could decide, I want to read a book a month. If you don't like reading, there's Audible has tons of books that you can listen to. And those you can listen to while you drive and listen at the same time. So kill two birds with one stone. So here's another one. Where would you like to go? Write it down. What spiritual goals would you like to set? Speak in tongues more? Would you like to learn how to operate the manifestations of healing? That would be cool. To learn how to study. You could make it a goal that I want to listen to a certain number of tapes, which I guess would be CDs or digital stuff. And there's a lot. All of Dr. Rohl's public teachings are on digital. All of Reverend Gere's public teachings are on digital. Steve's teachings are on digital. There's all kinds of things you can listen to and learn from. And you could just decide, well, when I'm in the car, instead of listening to The Rock or something like that, I want to listen to somebody teach the word. You could also make it a goal to learn how to study. Now listen to this one. Only 3% of Americans have written goals, and everybody else works for the 3%. And it sounds funny, but they did that study in Harvard years ago, and they had to find out, do you have goals? Some people had written goals. Some people had thought about writing goals, and somehow you had none. They checked them 30 years later, and the ones that had written goals were like 100 times more prosperous than the ones that didn't. Because without a goal, it's like shooting at a target. Well, if there's not a target out there, what do you shoot at? It just kind of, you can't get anything done that way. So here's another section. What financial goals would you like to see? What would you like to see in your bank account? What kind of goals would you like to see in your job? Maybe you want your boss's job pays better. Could make that a goal. Just don't tell him you're looking for it. What kind of business? You could have a goal to build a good emergency fund. They say an emergency fund should have enough money in it that you could live on it for 6 or 7 months without any extra income. You could make that as a goal. And so if it's a goal, then you have to figure out, how am I going to accomplish that? But, and also, like if it's with a job, you may need to figure out how to increase your worth in the marketplace. You may have to go take some more courses or classes or study something. And then sometimes your place of business will pay for you to go do that. Then once they pay for that, they gave you a raise. What would you like to learn to start a side gig? What learning would be required to do that? And you could make that a goal. What I'd really like to do is to do this over here. What am I going to have to learn to be able to do that? Another one, how many people would you like to help with God's word this next year? So you could say, well, how about 10? But you could also make it, I just like to share something, help somebody, one person a day. Just put me, somebody in my path that I could talk to each day to help them. You could ask them, you could ask God to do that. You might consider keeping a journal as a goal. Many people that keep journals find them very helpful. It has been said, I've read, that journaling can take the place of a therapist. And that's not a joke. Because it makes you organize your thoughts enough to be able to put them on paper. And once you see them, they don't have as much power over you as they had before. And it's easier to analyze what's going on inside your head if you put it on paper. But you can also journal about your job. You can journal about all kinds of different things. Your health, your finances. And it helps you to keep your mind focused on what it is that you're doing. So another one is, what would I want to accomplish this year? Just write down what you want to accomplish. Another one would be, what home improvements do I want to do this year? I want to get this done this year. If you don't write it down, you don't think about it. How much will you get done on your home this year? Nothing, most likely. I'm not just telling you this because I think that's what my wife and I do. Like on New Year's Day, because we know we're not working, and that's what we did this year, is we sit down and we look at our goals from last year, and then we write down some new ones. And if you have things that you want as goals, and you think, you know, if somebody read that, they'd think I was crazy. It's like one guy said, put it in code. So if it falls in the wrong hands, they won't know what you wrote down. So Brian Tracy said, and I like listening to him sometimes, all successful people are big dreamers. And then the last one here on says, God said, whatever you do, he will prosper. So you have to ask yourself, what do you want to do? And then just write it down and make it a goal. So if you can believe it, I'm all done. So our next teacher, I think I first met him when I was down in Arizona with Duke Clark. And then I began to see him up here at the Winter Advance. I think that's how we met each other. And came to have a lot of respect for his ability to teach the word and to make things clear and simple. Reverend Mike Radicchio.